in a colorless landscape. The future has promise. What the world needs is a shining hope. Bring talk radio back to life. Welcome to WMLR. More Life Radio. It's real radio on the blog platform. WMLR Radio. How hot is hot?
Thank you. KLR, More Life Radio is proud to present Mothers Know Best. A show dedicated to mothers everywhere. With your host, Felicia Daniels, and Living in Harmony.
Minister Inky, brilliant mind, herbalist, and we have the sister Abundance Child with Brother Nasi. They will be coming on today, and I guarantee you all will have a great time with us. So please sit back, kick your feet up. I'd like to bring in my lovely co-host, Sister Living in Harmony.
Peace, love, and life, sis. How you doing?
I am very well. I'm so excited for this show because I feel so comfortable. I'm in my skin. I'm in my mother's zone. So yes, we're gonna do it. So let's get the ball rolling. Are you ready, sis?
I'm ready. I'm ready to get acquainted with our listeners and get out there.
Mama, I love you.
Yes, we're gonna hold it down for the POP, absolutely.
Hold it down, POP.
Yes. So I'm so happy to bring this show to mothers, and we're not gonna leave out the fathers. So guys, please do listen in, kick back. We want encourage our viewers to listen up and take some notes because we're gonna be bringing some education with these shows. Like I mentioned, Minister Inky's gonna be coming on, and he's got some special friends. So it's definitely going to be a very educational, a very fun and supportive show, and that's what we want to do. We want to bring some peace, love, and tranquility to parenthood because we all know it can be an emotional roller coaster. So are you ready, sis?
I am ready. Yes. Let's get it started.
Yes, let's get it started. Let's go. We're going
all
to wrap
right.
it with our sponsors now. Sponsors for WMLR Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Mothers Know Best on WMLR More Life Radio, real radio on a blog talk platform. Today's show is being brought to you by Eclipse Production, the ultimate in voice work. 810-515-6095. Ask for Terry Chisholm, also known as the Maestro. Samuel Rain Benjamin, also known as Complicated Passions. Writer, poet of spoken word. Contact Victoria Woods for booking at 323-379-8952. It's complicated, but not really. More talk with Felicia Daniels and Tahuti the Fly Virgo. You can catch the show every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on WMLR More Life Radio. The Welcome Home Foundation, reconnecting the disconnected, and Virgos Helping Others. We thank our sponsors for making this show possible. And we return you now to the mothers. Felicia Daniels, living in harmony. Mothers Know Best on WMLR Life Radio.
Joining us, listening in. I'd like to put the number out there for anyone that would like to call and leave us a comment. If you have any questions, please do so. And that number is 646-564-9589. call and talk to the mothers of Mothers Know Best. And here at WMLR Radio, we want the nation deal at its finest. We're trying to provide real radio on a blog talk platform. So help us do that. Now, this is our first installation of Mothers Know Best, our very first show. So bear with us. This is live radio. But I guarantee you, we're going to have fun. We're going to sit back. We're going to learn. And we're going to grow. And that's what it's all about, building. So I'd like to let everyone know just a little bit about myself. My name is Felicia. I'm a mother. I have them from different ages and stages. My youngest is 2 years old, and I have one that's due this August. My oldest is 17. So that's why I say I have them from different ages and stages. So I'm experiencing motherhood on a wide range of, yeah, just a wide variety. I would never claim to know it all. This is a learning and growing journey for myself, as well as my children. We're all learning and growing together. And my friend, my sister in spirit, Sister Living in Harmony, she is also learning and growing along with me. So we encourage you parents out there to walk this journey with us. It's going to be a beautiful journey. Parenthood is not the end of the world. You still have or can have a life. And we want to encourage, inspire, and support you all. So that's just a little bit about me. I'll tell more. I don't want to hog the floor. So I'll pass it along to my sister in spirit, Sister Living in Harmony.
Thanks, sis. I am so excited to be here. It's great to be sharing this space with you and sharing this space and energy with the listeners. Just to let you know a little bit about me, I'm Living in Harmony, also known as Monica Eccles, if you're looking at me on Facebook. I am the mother of, drumroll please, 8 children. Yes, I do have 8 children, and they did all come from me. My children range in age from 18 to 4 months. So I just had a baby. My sister Felicia is about to have one. We are actually building a nation. We take that seriously. We are literally building a nation. So
exactly.
Like you said, you know, we don't have all the answers, but we have some answers. And that's why we wanted to have this platform for mothers. The answers that we don't have, some of you may have. And the answers that you may need, we may be able to provide for you. But it's all about us coming together as women, as single dads, as grandparents, whatever guardian title you have, come together in this community and build together and support one another. That's what we're here for. And we would like for you to join us and help us to build a strong community, a strong family.
Absolutely. It definitely takes a village. I've always heard that. And it wasn't until I started having children and being more conscientious of my responsibility to them that I realized that, you know, it really does, or literally does, take a village to raise a child. You know, I know when I was younger, I was a mom at 19 years old. And I, for the first 6 weeks, I have to credit my mother-in-law for caring for my oldest daughter. For the first 6 weeks, she did everything. All I did was take care of my personal hygiene, and she would bring the baby to me when it was time to nurse her. And she would take her off, change her, and put her to bed. And after 6 weeks, her sister fell ill, and she had to go away to go and take care of her sister. And I was completely lost. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I did not feel that I had any motherly instincts, but it was like a crash course in parenting. And I picked it up right on. And, you know, I've been loving motherhood ever since. I have 6 children. Well, this one on the way will be D6. So I have 6 children, and I also have a bonus baby. I don't like to use the term stepchild, but, you know, because I love her as though I birthed her myself, but she actually came from another mother. But, you know, with her, that's a total of 7. So I'm really close. I'm on your heels, sister. I'm on your heels. But, my bonus baby, I've been in her life since she was 5 years old. And, you know, like I say, you know, I've been loving motherhood from the first time that I had to take on that full responsibility to be responsible for another one's life, I knew that it was no longer about me. You know, it was about providing for them until they can provide for themselves. And, you know, people ask me, well, are you done yet? I get that every pregnancy. I'm sure you probably heard.
I absolutely do. Yes, I hear that all the time.
You know, I actually kind of feel some kind of way because I'm like, well, hey, you know, I bet LeBron's mom probably heard that too. But, you know, look at all the people that's cheering him and cheering her on now. You know,
absolutely.
You never know. Absolutely. Yes. You never know what your child will grow up to be. You can, you know, manifest these desires for them. You know, you can equip them with all the right things. But ultimately, that child is going to do what they are destined to do. And we don't personally know what their purpose and their destiny is. That's something that on their individual journey, they will have to find. So, you know, I just feel like it's just my responsibility to equip them with all they need to, you know, fulfill their purpose and their destiny. And I just have to sit back and watch because I have some, my children have some crazy personalities, and I can't wait until future shows so we can talk about the crazy and darnest things that children do. I know you have some crazy stories because I do.
Sis, the stories I have, oh my goodness, crazy is an understatement for what goes on in this house. It is an understatement, absolute understatement. But, you know, you're right. Being a mother, it's been a joy for me. You know, I love how you said you used the term bonus baby. You know, I think that's awesome because there are so many people out there that are in blended families and they don't accept the children as their own, you know. But for me, being a mom, you were talking about having your children and people asking you constantly, are you done yet? Are you done yet? I've heard that my whole life, every child that I've had. But I'm so grateful because I had my children, my first set of twins, or I only have one set of twins, but I had them at 16. And I thought that my life was over because that's the way a lot of people made me feel, that my life was over, that I would never be anything, that they probably would never do anything or be anything, and that all was lost. And now I have two 18-year-old sons who are about to go to college on a full ride, a full scholarship to the University of Memphis. So never let anybody tell you, to all the women that are listening, that your life is over, you know, when you get pregnant or if you've had a child or multiple children. As long as you're breathing, there's always an opportunity to grow and an opportunity to have a better life. So don't let anyone speak death to your story. You write your own story and make that story beautiful. So I appreciate you sharing that, and I appreciate you making that statement about bonus children, because I know anyone that comes into my life, I would want them to view my children as a bonus and not a burden. So I appreciate you for that, sis.
Well, I sure appreciate you as well. You know, I tell you all the time, you are my sister in spirit. Now, for the viewers or the callers that are listening, Sister Livin and I have never met in person. But she could be going through something, and I absolutely already know what it is. We are just that connected. And the thing that I love about her most is that her passion for children, aside from anything else that's going on in society, she advocates strong for the children, and I have that same passion. I cannot stand by and see a child hurt or see a child go without. And that is one of the main purposes of this show, is that we want to support families, you know, give mothers, a place to vent, a place to be comfortable, a place to not feel judged because, you know, we aren't perfect mothers. Like I said in the beginning, we are walking this journey and we are learning and building as we grow. So we want you to join us, build as you grow, just, you know, embrace us as we embrace you. Now, we're going to get ready to bring in our special guest, like I said, the brilliant mind, Minister Inti. I'll give you a good, you know, just a little bit of bio about him, and then I'll bring him in and let him tell more about himself. Now, Minister Inti, he is a teacher. He's an herbalist. He's a healer for more than 15 years. He's also a father. And he is a husband. So he advocates for Black Family. He advocates for Black health and also promotes a vegan diet so people can achieve optimum health for all African people, because he strongly feels that, you know, they should have, you know, vegan diet. So he really promotes that. He began creating herbal remedies back in fall of 2000 after enduring a seizure and a subsequent heart attack, which caused his heart to stop. Once he awoke, he checked himself out of the hospital without any further testing or treatment and immediately began working diligently to perfect his herbs and healthy vegan lifestyle. Now, Minister Inky has cured, treated, and healed cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure. He's helped countless others to lose weight. With 14 books written, Brother Inky now travels the U.S. conducting lectures. He has created a line of healing herbs. He has DVDs, and he offers online interactive courses. And this was featured in a documentary called Urban Kryptonite. If anyone wants to go and check that out, I strongly encourage that you do. The documentary called Urban Kryptonite. Minister Inky is going to come in, and he's going to, like I said, tell us more about what he does and the projects that he's working on. So I'd like everyone to give him a warm welcome. Brother Inky, how are you doing today?
How could I? How else could I be doing after an introduction like that? I am doing great.
I'm so pleased to have you back on board. Now, the callers that are not familiar with the More Talk show that I do on Tuesdays with my brother Tahuti, the Fly Virgo, Minister Inky has worked with us on that show. And I tell you, he has been a huge contribution to the More Life family. So it's an honor to have you come in on our debut show, The Mothers Know Best with WMLR. I'm super excited, brother. I'm so glad you made the time to come in and kick it off with us.
Hey, I'm glad that y'all would have me. And I got Brother Nazi. He's teaching right now, but he will be on deck. He said he's definitely calling in. Brother Hashar is supposed to call in, but I haven't spoken to him directly. And then Abundance is grinding in the restaurant. Drop Squad Kitchen, and prepping, because we're supposed to be opening a new Drop Squad Kitchen in Philadelphia pretty soon. But she'll be on the line as well. So she told me to give her a minute and then call her and tag her in. So we got the family should be forming like Voltron, and the idea with the specific friends that I brought along is because we're going to be discussing this very same topic this Sunday coming up in New York, June 21st. So anybody that's in New York, Harlem, we'll be at the National Black Theater going in.
Yeah,
right,
the team has their schedules packed, but that's awesome because you guys are doing wonderful work in the community. And I just want you to know that it's not in vain. It's so appreciated, and it's so very needed as well. You know, wouldn't you say, Sister Living?
Absolutely. It is such a pleasure, Minister Inky, to be introduced to you. I listened to you once before, but like I said, it's a pleasure to actually be in your presence and speak with you one-on-one. So thank you for coming, and thank you for bringing your brothers and sisters with you. But it's amazing. I think it's great what you're doing, and it's something that is absolutely needed in our community and other communities, Felicia.
Well, I'm just glad to be in the building. I mean, the main thing in terms of my credentials in regards to the topic that we're going to be discussing today, as well as next week in Harlem, is I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I have 10 children from newborn to college degree. And the biggest part of all that, I should say, that I celebrate on a day-to-day basis and hopefully it does not change, is that I'm not on any form of child support. You know, so that is the key in terms of understanding the relationship. See, a lot of times the emphasis, this whole structure that we live in is about maintaining the status quo. And the only way the status quo could be maintained, whether we're talking about social, political, educational, or financial, is if the black family cannot come together. That's the only way we as a people stay out of the game, is because the black family has to come together. So we have a lot of quote-unquote core beliefs or fundamental aspects of how we build our relationships and families that are predicated on the Margaret Sanger movement, et cetera, et cetera. So one of which is like I was having a conversation last week with my 11-year-old, Amber. She's famous now, Amber Institute. So we on the patio talking, and she was like, something about me and her mom. And I was like, well, what you got to understand, baby, is that all of you guys, your sisters and brothers, you guys are all a side effect. You're a side effect of the relationship between me and your mother. And we have to begin to look at the family like that and approach the family like that, because the approach that we have right now is it's all about the children. And what happens is, since it's all about the children, the parents stop paying attention and taking care of one another, their relationship deteriorates, and because their relationship deteriorates, the thing that you look to prevent in the beginning, which is damage to the children, actually starts to happen. So if we put, as a people, more emphasis on the relationship between the man and the woman, which is where the children come from, if the relationship never happened between the man and the woman, there would be no children. So in order to maintain that relationship throughout the duration of the lives of your children and at least keep it loving and friendly, that focus always has to be there on one another, period. That focus can never leave. And there are certain little dynamics that we don't that just keep us out of the loop. Like, we keep telling and saying the popular mantra that women always come into relationships and they're more emotional and yada, yada, yada. And men come into the relationship and we thinking, you know, sex, et cetera, et cetera. That can't be farthest from the truth. Men are way more emotional than women are. And the reason that is because of the sexual dynamic. Now, the sexual dynamic, I listen to a lot of people talk about relationships, and I never hear them discuss the sexual dynamic. And without this sexual dynamic or understanding, let me restate that, without an understanding of this sexual dynamic, we would never be able to, as men, understand why women are quote-unquote from Mars and why men are quote-unquote from Jupiter, or why we just don't seem to get on the same page in terms of how we view the relationship. So we do know, based on genetics, that women are more feeling and men are more projective, but that's not the real underlying case. The underlying case is that for a woman, she can walk from point A, like, for instance, I'll give you a perfect analogy. Let's give a nightclub analogy, right? Let's give a nightclub analogy. A woman that walks in the nightclub from the front door, right? From the front door, she walks into the nightclub. She doesn't stop at the bar. She doesn't stop at the dance floor. She's got to pee real bad. So let's just say she got to pee real bad. So she comes into the club. She walks straight to the women's bathroom. She does her business. And she's like, no, I'm not feeling the club tonight. I just want to use the bathroom. So she walks in the club, straight beeline to the bathroom, uses the bathroom. Then she turns around and she walks a beeline straight back out of the club. From the time she walks in the door to the time she gets to the bathroom, she's probably going to hear, yo, shorty, yo, ma, come here, excuse me, miss, queen, goddess, you know, the terminology, the meaning is the same. The terminology is just different depending on the person communicating it. So she's going to get hit on probably 5 to 10 times on her way to the bathroom, and then 5 to 10 times on the way back out of the bathroom to the car. So all day, every day, a woman is turning down sexual advances. She's resisting. She's pushing them away. It's the exact opposite for a man. For a man, he's got to beg or campaign on average for 20 women before he finds one that'll entertain his BS.
I'm laughing, but that's serious. Yes.
Yeah. That sexual dynamic right there is why we don't understand each other. Because the man, a lot of his jealousy and his overprotectiveness towards his woman comes from the fact that he has to work so hard to find one.
Wow.
He has to work super hard to find him a sexual partner. The woman, she don't have to do no work at all. She can have one eye be white and black at the same time with a yellow stripe down the side and be 800 pounds, and it's a guarantee somebody going to say, hey, thickness, how you doing?
Wow. He say, hey, thickness.
Now, listen, on the flip side, you got dude that handsome, nicely dressed, pull up to the car. You know, he got it all happening. He's smart. He got money, whatever the case may be. He still may have some lonely nights because women are overwhelmed with men campaigning for their attention. So it's a totally different world we come from.
Yes, and I now understand. Well, I had some understanding about the women versus the women from Mars, men from Mars and women from Venus. I had some understanding about that, but the way you just broke it down, it just really puts a better twist on the whole ideology. So, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. Absolutely. We don't understand each other because we don't understand the struggles that either of us have to go through in life. So that, first of all, knowing yourself, you know, you have to know yourself, and then you have to be able to communicate yourself to someone else. They need to know themselves and be able to communicate themselves to you so you can have that common ground to meet on. But we're going to get a little bit more into that. We have some callers on the line, so I'd like to welcome everyone to WMLR Radio, Mothers Know Best, and encourage any others that are listening, call in. Number is 646-564-9589. So we'll just keep on rolling. We don't have a caller just yet. We just have some people listening, but we're glad you're listening, and we welcome you. We so appreciate you for calling and vibing in with us. But, yes, now, Minister Eaton, you said you had 10 siblings. Now, was it always a hard thing to do to get all of the mothers on a civil communication level? Did you have that standard, or was it a learning process as you grew?
Well, you mean to get the mothers of the children to be cool with each other, or to be cool with me?
To be cool with you.
Oh, yeah, it's just kind of, to be honest, I have 2 baby mamas, and I have a wife. My wife and I have 8 children together. But with that being said, I never approached any of those 3. All 3 of those women approached me, and we built our relationship that way. And why that's important is because of that dynamic we just talked about. See, as a man, even though it's much more difficult to let women come to you, because there's going to be a lot more time in between. You know, it's like a sale. So you get aggressive, so you make a sale. If you're not aggressive, you lay back. Sale is going to come, but they're going to be far, few in between. But
right.
there'll probably be more quality. See, because the people are going to really be interested in you, whether you're a man or a woman. If you let the people come to, well, women, they got to deal with what they got to deal with. I don't know their dynamic, but as a man, if you wait and you're a little bit more patient and let the women come to you as opposed to looking for them, what you're going to get is much more of a quality of woman because she's interested in who you are as opposed to what benefit she can, you know, work you into. And just a part of the female dynamic makes them do that, not out of being gold diggers, but if I have 100 people saying, hey, I want to have a relationship with you, then I have to look at them and say, well, which one can probably do the most for me, or which one is the best, you know, which one is the best out of all these, and I'm going to pick him. Now, from the man's perspective, you're like, oh, you're just looking for money, you'll go with it. But no, some women don't always choose based on that type of resource. Some women choose their man based on intellectual resource, based on emotional resource. So it's not always finance what a woman's in need of, because you might meet a woman that has more money than you. Then what can you offer her? You can't teach her anything. You're going to lose her immediately. So that whole dynamic plays out over and over and over again on many levels. So me, I'm still cool with all three of them. I'm still cool with all three of them. A lot of times, the fact that we don't plan children really hurts the post-child relationship, because most people, these are a lot of things that people don't discuss. So I'm going to have to download this blog talk and load this joke up.
Yeah. That is exactly right. You're exactly right.
Yeah. But the other side to this is this. Since there's a divide in the dynamic, men aren't comfortable with their weakness. So that's why usually in an argument situation, even though the man is quicker to walk off and the woman is usually more clingy, like, nah, you're not going nowhere and blah, 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 that's only in the micro setting. But overall, it's usually the woman that's ready to walk out of the complete relationship first. And it's the man who's usually like, nah, 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 baby, stay, I'm sorry, 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 to the point where you have singers over the last 80 years like Keith Sweat going all the way back that have made complete livings off of singing and producing nothing but albums with 12 to 15 cuts of baby, 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 don't leave, baby, 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 come back. Because that's such a normal dynamic for us. And the reason goes back to, again, she got 50 other dudes waiting. When she get to work, almost half the dudes at her job, like, what's up, mom? What's up, boo? What's up? Oh, you got a man? Yeah, me too. What that mean, though? Like, it just doesn't matter. You know, when she's going from home to work, the bus driver or the guy at the toll booth, like, they're always on me. So that dynamic always plays a role. It's just no way to get around that. So I stay cool with them. And the other problem, the bigger problem that this dynamic presents is this. Usually, men are not with the women that they would like to. In fact, you know what? I think this fact plays a role for men and for women, even with the fact that women have a large selection of men they can choose from. Usually that selection of men is somewhere close or just above her station in life. So what happens is most people wind up in relationships because our sexual drive is easier to satisfy than our drive for companionship and longevity. So what happens is we find sexual partners, and the sexual partners are cool, but for one reason or another, these are not people that we want to have children with, and damn sure don't want to move in, get married, and stay with forever. It's just I need somebody to take care of my needs right now. Now, yeah. The problem is, once we do that and we settle for, especially men, like I said, because we don't have much choice. So, for the most part, a man will sleep with whatever woman opens her leg. Problem is, though, when someone gets pregnant, boom, now you're faced with, do I want to deal with this woman forever? Am I even comfortable walking around with this man on my shoulder? Do I want my moms to think I let this guy get me pregnant? Oh, my God, I'm this bum-ass nigga. Oh, yo, I got this the hoe from the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Dudes have that story. The hoe from the neighborhood, that's their baby mama. Why? Because she was easiest. But that's why you was in there, because she was easy. You know, and then that's where a lot of men get this whole thing about big size women. So a lot of men deal with heavy women, and when I say heavy, I don't mean thick and voluptuous. There's been, over the last 10 to 15 years, a strong media campaign dedicated to confusing people and blurring the line between thick, voluptuous, and just obese. And that's why they've come out with the term to pull all three into one term to confuse people, which is BBW.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, right. So what happens is men find that, quote-unquote, heavy women have low self-esteem. That makes them feel good. So now you have guys that have set up clubs for these heavier, low self-esteem women to flock to so that they can reverse the dynamic for a little while and see what it feels like to be a woman. See what it feels like to walk around in a room where everyone's chasing you as opposed to you trying to chase them. So all of these little things play into the stability of the relationship between a father and a mother. How did we come together? Did we plan this? Or at least if we didn't plan the pregnancy, were we at least at a stage where we consciously both agreed that we would stay together in some capacity for long periods of time? Because sometimes you deeply in love head over heels, and the person that you deeply in love head over heels with is like, oh, my God, can you please go home? You know what I'm saying? So it's got to be mutual. It's not just how much you love the person. Because if you're in love with them and they're not in love with you, they're going to abuse you, even if they're not doing it on purpose. They're going to hurt you.
Yes, and I think it's very important whenever you have that situation that you didn't come together and make that agreement to create that life. I think it's important that sometime, at some point in time, before that life gets here, you have to come to some type of common ground, even if it's going to be a co-parenting situation. But we are at the almost the top of the hour, so we're going to go into a quick 15-minute break. Again, I'd like to thank everyone for listening in to WMLR, Mothers Know Best. This is our installation show, our very first show, and we are kicking it live with Minister Inky and my sister in spirit, the lovely Sister Living in Harmony. And definitely do call in. That number is 646-564-9589. We have more to talk about, so please stand by, everyone.
Mom, I love you.
Thank you for tuning in to Mothers Know Best on WMLR More Life Radio, real radio on a blog talk platform. Today's show is being brought to you by Eclipse Production, the ultimate ultimate in voice work. 810-515-6095. Ask for Terry Chisholm, also known as the Maestro. Samuel Rain Benjamin, also known as Complicated Passions, writer, poet of spoken word. Contact Victoria Woods for booking at 323-379-8952. It's complicated, but not really. More talk with Felicia Daniels and Tahuti the Fly Virgo. You can catch the show every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on WMLR, More Life Radio. Go ahead, turn it up. You're locked into WMLR, More Life Radio. Best on WMLR More Life Radio, real radio on a blog talk platform.
WMLR, More Life Radio. Yeah, that's a nice song. It makes me think about when I was young, which makes me think about mom, because that's who this show is about, you moms, grandmoms, aunties, and anyone that's a guardian. Call us. Talk to us. Let us know what you think about what you've heard so far. And maybe if you want to respond to what Minister Enke has been sharing with us, some great wisdom, some nuggets, and some funny facts he shared with us. I'd like to know what you think about what he said. I have my thoughts on it. So give us a call, 646-564-9589. Minister Enke, it is a pleasure. Like I said, you've been sharing some valuable information. I know it's a lot of us sisters can think about some of the things that you said. I was listening intently. That's why I did not want to cut you off, because I wanted to hear you out and really hear what you have to say, because what you're saying is actually true. You know, we as women have a lot of power, because that's basically what I gathered from what you were saying.
That's right. That is correct.
We have a lot of power.
I'm quoting my brother Natural Tahuti in a lesser extent, but the black woman is definitely God in terms of social dynamics and in terms of genetics. So that may be able to be debated in a social setting, but in a scientific setting, it cannot be debated, because even when you go to the hospital to deliver a baby, they tell you, especially if the baby's a premature, that's when you find out a lot more about genetics. They tell you if the baby's a premature, that the chances are rated as following. The child that has the least chances of survival, the premature baby that has the least chances of survival, and this is at any given time, this is if your baby coming 30 weeks or 22 weeks, it don't matter. The least chance of survival for a premature baby is a white male. Directly in a next step higher than him is the white female. The next step higher than that is a black male. And then at the top, the baby that has the highest rate of survival for premature births is the black female. So the genes prove themselves, I mean, scientifically, so it's not even really much that we can, that we even have to debate about that. Women are very powerful, very powerful. And y'all need, now this is where my opinion come in, so y'all can, if y'all waiting to get me, y'all can get me now. What y'all need to do, damn it, is realize y'all power, have a little bit of mercy on your brothers, right? Because when you're bigger and stronger, like the same way that men are supposed to behave physically with women, women are supposed to do the same thing mentally and emotionally with men. Because men know that they are way stronger than a woman, you're never supposed to put your hands on a woman, even if she put her hands on you. Let me say that for the record, for you niggas out there putting your hands on women saying that she hit you first. Knock it off. Man up. Okay? Even if she put her hands on you, you're not supposed to put your hands back on her because of the physical strength, scientifically, the testosterone production. Now, flip side, a woman is way stronger than a man emotionally and mentally, way stronger. So you're supposed to have the same type of patience, even if we attack you emotionally or mentally, you're supposed to do the same thing for us and be like, I know that you are a emotional and mental first grader as opposed to me just finishing up college. So I'm going to allow you to have your emotional, mental maturity complex until I can raise you up and get you to where I need you to be. Now, does that mean that women should be overbearing and not allow their man to teach them? No. But that does mean that we need to be equally yoked. And when I say equally yoked, I don't want to make it a Bible conversation, and I don't want to make it a financial conversation, because equally yoked to me is where the mind is at. And mm-hmm. one of the things that a man has to learn if he wants to keep his women is the natural dynamic is that if a woman nurtures a man, he'll never leave her. And if a man can teach a woman, she will never leave him because everything else is going to get old. But the moment that that woman can no longer learn from you, the natural dynamic is out of whack and she'll find somebody else that she can learn from. So, and the same thing with men in nurturing. If you don't nurture your man and you ain't rubbing his back, that nigga be 400 pounds. You got to rub his back and say, you are the strongest man on earth, baby. If you ain't doing that, eventually he going to go somewhere and find somebody to do that because that's what he needs to be strong enough to go out in the world and accomplish the things that you want him to accomplish. Because men, all of our ambitions center around women. Man can lie to you all he wants, but all his ambitions center around women. So technically, once we have women, this is why most men, they just go to hell after they get a woman that they satisfied with. They stop dressing, stop working out, they stop eating right because they already done. Like, I got you. I'm good. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that all of that has to be taken into consideration, all of that stuff. And it's just a matter of, you know, Hosea 4:6. My people die for lack of knowledge. So because we go to school and we think school is the end-all, be-all because we are so still conditioned to listen to white folks, when school doesn't prepare you for life, it prepares you to be an employee and work for white folks, we don't realize that the life skills we have to learn in the home. So that's why the next step is outside of the man's relationship with the woman and the woman's relationship and the man and their responsibility to each other and then to the family, is the template that they come out of. Because a lot of times they're coming out of a situation with no template. They've never seen their parents together, so they don't even know what that's supposed to look like. They've never seen their parents go through. See, when people think about long-term relationships, it's not the long-term relationship. It's not about being with somebody for a long time. That's really the thing that you want your children to see and learn and take to their next relationships or their idea, as they're forming their idea of what the template of relationship should be. No, what you want your children to see is that you go through ups and downs, downs and ups, and you fight through it and you stick together. That's what you need them to see. See, when they look at TV all the time and they keep getting this Cosby image of relationships, this is why a lot of the men are choosing to go with white women now. Because we've been sitting down watching TV all this time and we see these relationships that, like, you know, the Cosby Show, where there's no friction in the relationship. So we think that there's supposed to be no friction in our relationship at home. And if there's friction, that's a bad relationship. We should get out of that. So now we're looking for women that don't push us or motivate us at all. So what happens? No creation, no development. That is a universal fundamental. All creation comes out of friction. So if there's no friction, there's no creation. And that goes all the way down to into a condom and sex. When you look at a latex condom, a condom is designed not to necessarily catch viruses, et cetera, et cetera. Condoms are rubbers. That's why there's a euphemism for condom called rubber. The rubber is designed to do what? It's designed to block electrical discharge. So that stops the electromagnetic connection between a man and a woman right there. So there's a whole lot of dynamics that we got to deal with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now you get into the metaphysical there.
right.
Metaphysics, yes, indeed.
so many different variables.
Yeah, I was saying I highly agree with your opinion because I share those views as well. Very, very much so. As you were saying, Sister Livy.
No, I was just agreeing with you at the same time of different variables that he's brought up as it pertains to relationships and sex, and this is it, he's given us so much. You know, we're getting it all for free along with the listeners. So,
man,
let
me tell you something. I used to like tantra was my thing. You know, I'm quote unquote horny. Damn it! So I studied tantra for like 6 years straight. And I used to do sexual relationship classes, but so I got a lot of that stuff that I would always like to share. But from the classes that I did, this was years, years, years ago. people were using the information. Like with the sex classes, I did a couple, and brothers and sisters was coming back like, oh my God, it's so great, I love it, thank you, Minister Inky, check this out, yo, I got, using that shit you showed me, I got 3 BITCHs and they all paying my bills, son, I'm killing it.
Oh, wow.
Like, ooh, that is not what the class is for. I got ladies running, oh my God, thank you, Minister Inky. I'm making my man do whatever I want against his will. He don't even know how I'm dominating him. I'm like, ooh, that wasn't the purpose either. Okay, sex classes are over. Eat healthy, stop eating pork, no soda, stop the cigarettes. Peace. So I had to stop doing those classes. Matter of fact, hold on for 1 second. Let me try to get Sister Abundance on.
All right. For all our callers that are listening, we encourage you to press number 1 if you would like to leave a comment or if you have a question for myself, Sister Living, or the Minister Inky. That number is 646-564-9589. And again, you are listening to WMLR Radio, Mothers Know Best. That's real radio on a Blog Talk platform. And we're nation building at its finest, family. Call in. Let us hear from you. We'd love to hear what you would have to say. Now, we have Minister Inky bringing in some of his special friends, so just bear with us a short while here. So, Sister Living, your opinion on the comment that Minister Inky said about the personality, you know, the women are being stronger mentally and emotionally versus the male being stronger physically. Again, I did catch that you agreed, and of course I agree as well. And what really made me think about is the comment that you hear so often from our brothers, you know, these women have attitudes. You know, I even got it from my husband. Your mouth, you know, your mouth is just something else. I have to laugh. Mm-hmm. It's a serious issue, but I have to laugh because it's so true. And whenever Brother Inky stated it, it's like it just resonated in me like bingo. Yeah, that's what he's talking about. That's what my husband's talking about when he says my mouth.
Yeah.
I really have to take heed to that. I really do have to self check myself on that. You know, do a check and balance there when it comes to dealing with him, because yes, he's stronger than me physically, but I have to admit my mouth can be something else. I am not going to lie.
well, you know something, sis, not only, I'm sorry, Minister Inky, not only do we have to be mindful of how we speak to our male counterparts, as a mother of 3 older teenage boys, I have learned, and I had to learn the hard way. So, moms that are listening, if you're not doing it right, if you're making a mistake, it's okay because that's what helps us grow. But I had to learn that I have to respect my men's sons. I have to respect them because what I do to them is what they'll expect and accept from any woman that they choose to have in their life. So when I speak to them, now that they're older, they're 18, 16, 18, I don't speak to them like they're children. I speak to them, I do my best to do it now. I speak to them like the men that they are. And I let them know I honor you and I respect you. I'm still your mother. I'm still going to guide you. However, I trust you enough and I have enough faith in you as a man to make the right choices. And I think as women, we can develop stronger young men and men, period, if we learn to speak to our sons this way before they get out and start dating, or before they start dealing with young ladies that don't know how to honor and respect them. So that's why I've learned and I tried to tame my tongue and I tried to bring my tone down and my volume when I deal with them and say to myself, this is not a little boy you're talking to. This is your man child. So I think that's also important as well, Sister Felicia. Minister Inky, do you agree with that?
Oh, my God, so much. You just went crazy right there. That's so crucial. But on so many different levels, because one of the major causes for male babies that are not born with excessively high estrogen levels to become homosexual is a overly aggressive and domineering mom. that takes the boy out of her little boy. Now, with me, I'm very adamant about playing positions. Like, I don't believe in double standards for men and women. And when I say that, let me explain that so people know what I mean by that. I think it's impossible scientifically for a double standard to exist for a man and a woman. Like, so sometimes a woman will do something and a man will be like, oh, that's a double standard. You won't be able to do that, but I can't do that. Or a woman will say that to a man. Oh, that's a double standard. You won't be able to have your cake and eat it too. No, there's no such thing as a double standard for a man and a woman, because in order to have a double standard, you have to be dealing with the same thing. So the fact that I'm a man and you're a woman means that different rules and laws apply because we're different. You can't apply the same rules and laws to a fan as you can to an air conditioner. They're different. You can't apply the same. So it's different. And if you look at the yin and the yin and the yang symbol encompasses men and women perfectly. Because if you look at one side, if you look at the yin side, right, which is the female energy, inside that yin, you'll see the yang. So that's also showing you that in the woman's, in a female, her strength is inside. She's stronger than you on the inside. Now, on the flip side, you see the male. So you see the strength for the male is where? On the outside. But on the inside, he's weaker. So her weakness is on the outside and her strength is on the inside. His weakness is on the inside. His strength is on the outside. They only can form that true God body when they come together and provide that situation for their children. And when they provide that for their children, that means also that the women need to lead with women. You know what I'm saying? And the men need to lead the little boys. Because what happens is you get, when you get dads trying to be single dads or, you know, over-parenting in a co-parenting relationship, then you get shit like the girls keep getting blue sneakers or, you know, like Jordans, you know what I mean? Or just little things like that where you don't take into consideration the fact that she's a girl and you're a man. On the flip side, that happens with women, where women are constantly, and this is a big problem, this is a huge problem in terms of our society and the situation we're in right now. Women are constantly over-cuddling and softening these damn boys up because usually the dad's not around. She got to do it by herself. And so she's applying the breast principles that she knows. And I just said breast by accident. But the breast, and I'm going to say it on purpose now, the breast principles that she knows, right, which is how she wants to be treated. The highest standard that anyone has is the standard that they use for themselves. So she's applying the best standard she has, and she wants her son to be treated the way she want to be treated. And what she's going to do is cuddle, nurture. She's going to basically girl him. She's going to girl him up. You know, when the boys get too excited, they wrestling, they jumping around, sit down. Don't make no noise. When the boys start fighting over the toys, don't fight. That, don't share that. Sit down. Don't do this. Don't do that. Now, fast forward. All of the men are grown. Guess what you have? You have a race of men that don't know how to stand up for and protect their women, because as boys, the women, the mothers, took the soldier out of those boys. So now all those boys grow up and be soft, and a prime example of that was the woman that was out there beating her son in Ferguson or Baltimore or wherever the case, because he was out riding. You know what I'm saying? Now, she was supposed to wait until they got to the house to tear his ass up, because I believe that ass whooping was due. Now, yeah. That ass whooping was due. You wasn't supposed to have your ass out there. You don't know what I put into bringing you into this world and protecting you and getting you here. So it's definitely, you know, that definitely the ass whooping got to be in place. I believe in that. But she put him in more jeopardy by pulling his mask off and making a scene like that in the middle of the street. Government-wise, politic-wise, and then socially, because now his friends are going to ostracize him, et cetera, and he's never going to be respected as a man. As soon as he tries to do anything manly around his peers, they're going to pull that out on him for the rest of his life. Shut up, nigga. You can't. Nigga, stop. You got whooped on TV. You knock it off. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that has to be, we got to make, as men, we want to see the little girls the way they're supposed to be. when we want them to be women as women, we got to make sure we see our little boys with the way they want to be as men. And I think a good way to practice that is by having the old school situation where parents had children and set their children up on little play dates and start grooming them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to learn what's appropriate and inappropriate. You know, what should you be doing with a girl that's not your girlfriend or at this age? And how do you watch a movie with a girl? How do you speak to a woman? How do you speak to a man as a woman? Like, all those things we never cover, usually because our household is so crazy, because one person's not there and the other person's stuck with trying to keep us under control, safe, fed, clean up the house, get the money to do this. So you barely can even try to parent because you don't even have the time. So it just all those dynamics, it gets a little crazy. But yes, I agree with you 1,000% that it's imperative that we speak to our babies in a future thinking sense. We want to speak to our babies and treat them in a way where we mold them to become who we want them to become later on. It's not about what we're doing right now. And that speaks, usually, that speaks to how much a parent wanted a child. Because a lot of women have children because they wanted to be with the guy and they thought that's what he wanted, not necessarily for the baby. And you got a lot of men that get women pregnant because they think that's what she wanted, but he didn't really want the baby. So now, later on, when things get thick and, you know, things get hot and heavy, it's like, well, I did this for you. I thought you wanted this. It's like, well, I wanted this, but I thought we wanted this. And it get a little crazy, and the person that gets shortchanged is the baby. So, you know, just all of that stuff got to be taken into consideration. And I think we guys got to have different type of opening conversations where we're not so thirsty for sex. I think the fact that we're sexually repressed is, as a people, is what creates a lot of the behavior that stunts our growth relationship-wise and family-wise. You know, my dad taught me something, and I'm going to share it with everybody. Some people may think it's whatever, but it has saved my life. And I thought it was weird when my dad told it to me. I thought it was so weird that I told my aunt and my mom, because I wasn't sure if it was inappropriate for him to tell me something like that. When I was like 12 years old, my dad told me, he said, son, you have to masturbate. I was like, what? He said, son, if you don't masturbate, let me tell you what's going to happen. A, you're not going to know yourself. You're not going to know how you like to be pleased, so you won't be able to tell your woman how to do it. That's number one. But number two, which is more important than number one, is that you will not be able to think when your private get active. That little mind will be controlling the big one. So if you find yourself in a situation where you out at a party or et cetera, and you're thinking about having a one-night stand or anything like that crazy, or a girl trying to press you to buy her something or whatever the case, he said, just do a favor. It's going to seem real nasty, perverted, et cetera, but just listen to your dad one time. If you do it, it don't work. Never do it again. He said, go to the bathroom before you do anything, jerk off, come back out, excuse my vulgarity, and look at that woman in the face and see if your mind hasn't changed. And by oh by, I did that twice, and that not only changed my mind, but it changed my mind forever moving forward, and I never had to repeat the process because I realized how much of an influence the little brain has over the big brain. So you know, our sexual repression really, really frustrates us, and women have to deal with that because a lot of women don't have orgasms during sex. And the question I have for women is, how is it that you expect a man to bring you to an orgasm if you don't know how to bring you to an orgasm? Now, you've been with you all your life. I've only been with you X amount of days, weeks, or months. So how can I bring you to an orgasm if you've been with you forever and you don't know how to do it?
Cut the hair. I swear this is giving me life right now. It's so accurate. It's so true. And that's I've been having the sex talk with my children since they were old enough to identify their sexual body parts. And I just want to put that out there to our listeners that are listening with us. WMLR Radio, Mothers Know Best, Real Radio with the Blog Talk platform. I'd just like you to know that we're going to have future show topics on these things, how to talk to your child about sex, things that you should have your child know, things that you should have your child do. Like I said, I've been talking with mine since they were old enough to identify their body parts and gender parts, and I would say as early as age 4, but no later than age 5 and 6. My first son is 6 years old right now, and I'm laughing because it's not something that I've ever experienced before, and I'm learning, I'm growing, and it's a beautiful thing. Parenthood is a beautiful thing. Now I would like to go back to a little comment that you made about the mother in Baltimore. I'm a strong advocate for children, and I only recently, as say maybe 4 months ago, stopped physically disciplining the children. They still have physical training. That's why I implement physical training as a form of punishment. But at all costs, I try to redirect that negative or unpleasing behavior that they're doing, because you know I've done some research. My partner on the More Talk show, Brother Tahuti Fly Virgo, I know he's listening in with us. We did a show on corporal punishment, and I found that going back to the motherland, our brothers and sisters in Africa, they don't feel that a child responds to anger. So
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with that. And I'm familiar with that. I was doing a show like maybe a year or two ago, and a sister called in, and she had the same exact comment. And my comment was this: we are no longer those people from the motherland. We are no longer those people from our past. Our children are loaded up with cocaine residues, heroin residues, because everything that we encompass, everything that we experience in our life, the Bible and the Quran told us this long ago, that the sins of father will be revisited on the children 7 generations deep. But, you know, religion is just spookishness, right? There's no science in religion, so scratch that. Epigenetics now has told us the same exact thing, that you create new genes with your experiences. You create new genes with the things you like to eat, the things you taste even one time. Even stressful, traumatic situations create new genes, and all this information gets passed down to your next generation. So a lot of people think that they can go through a quote-unquote wild and crazy teenage, early 20s phase and experiment with little weed, little coke, little dope, little pills, stop that 2-3 years later, oh, boop, or even some cases 30 days or 60 days later, oh, I've detoxed, I'm clean, I'm about to have these babies, and boop, 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 boop. That's cool. You clean in a, you know, euphemistic sense, but technically everything that you've experienced, you're passing down traces of that to your children. So we no longer are those people. Our babies, our minds are all over the place. So I find that a combination of the two is good, because what happens with our children now, American black babies, they're going to test you. So if they don't know that the whooping is real, they're not going to respect none of the threats. And if the daddy is not around, forget about it. Them little boys get ready to dominate that mama as soon as they think they physically equal or stronger. So I agree with the other forms of punishment. Right. See, me now, if I just look at any one of my children, like if I look at one of the girls too long, they cry. Period.
I envy my husband because he has that power.
No, exactly. And they mamas be mad with me, like, why they listening to you like that, not me? I'm like, because you say things that you don't follow. You don't make good on your promises. I make good on every promise, bad or good. So they know once I tell it, it's getting ready to happen. So I already sold it to them once, so they know it's real. So now I never have to really do that again. All I got to do is remind them, like, do you really want me to? No, Daddy, I'm on it. So it takes care of itself. But I find that the threat got to be real. So it's working out good for you because you already had that instilled in your children so they could remember back, like, no, mommy's not playing. We're doing this new thing, but mommy gets busy. You know, so they have that premise. Where if they didn't have that at some point to know that it's real, then, and it don't got to be like the old school now. There's a difference between what I got and how I deal with my children. I would pop my children on the hand or the butt, where my mom's would grab whatever's close, the whip, the belt,
whatever,
the broom,
whatever's
like,
within
the
reach.
Like, I told you what I told you, and you get. So it'd be a whole nother dynamic. You know what I'm saying? So, but give me a couple of minutes. I'll be right back if possible because my phone dying, and I want to try to get the rest of the people on.
Oh, no problem. We appreciate you, brother. Now, Sister Living, just as I was saying, you know, to the audience that's listening with us, we're going to have more shows about, you know, child rearing and sex talk and things like that. Would you like to share with everyone some of the ideas that you have for the show, just so they can be informed of what to look forward to next on Mothers Know Best?
Well, I would love for us to, you know, I've heard it, and I'm sure you've heard it, and several other mothers have heard us have people tell us, make time for yourself. You need to take a break. If you're overwhelmed, why don't you just take a break? But nobody ever tells us how we can accomplish that. So I would like for us to give our listeners some resources to go to, some different techniques that they can do, shows about how to make time for mom. Shows about how to relate to your children when they may go on a different path spiritually, you know, things of that nature. Also, of course, what you mentioned, the sex talk, the infamous sex talk, which is so important. It is so needed, and people really don't understand the importance of that at a younger age than what I was given, and I don't know about you, but I really didn't have that talk until later, you know, when I was a little bit older. So things like that are some of the things that I would like for us to address with our listeners, with our family. But if there's anyone out there listening that you have an issue that you would like to talk about, or if you have a scenario or a problem that you're not quite comfortable with getting on the air to talk about, you can email Felicia and I at our email address, which is mothersknowbest@gmail.com. And you guys can shoot us an email. You can shoot us an email just to say hi. Or you can shoot us an email to let us know a situation that you may be in where you might want us to give you some advice, or we can have guests on that can address your problem or your concern. So why don't you guys, you know, take that into consideration. But I have really enjoyed the show, and Minister Inky has cracked me up. I thought about those whoopings where mom was making a speech while she was whooping you, like, you better not ever do. And you thinking to yourself, like, how many more sentences does she have left?
I've heard about those, but honestly, I haven't gotten those type of whippings. I wasn't spanked as a child. I had my things taken away, like my television. I had a television in my room. I had a phone in my room as early as 9 years old. So when they took those things away from me, oh my goodness, my world was just coming to an end. But I went to a school. It was predominantly black school, and, you know, the parents in the home, they were strong physical disciplinaries. So I heard those stories, and I was familiar with them, but I just didn't get it, and I couldn't understand what, you know, why.
This is what you said. You're going to learn today.
Yeah. But I'd like everyone to know that, you know, Mothers Know Best. We created with the purpose to connect with mothers, nanas, guardians, teachers, and not forgetting about our fathers and positive male influences as well. You know, we need each other for support. My beautiful host, Sister Living in Harmony, and I, you know, we will strive to bring you all the up-to-date education on parenting, the best parental topics that we can find. You know, we encourage you to give us some ideas so we can address them. And like she said, we'll bring on a host, a specialist, to address those issues that you may have a question about. We're also going to talk about dating as a parent. And, you know, we just want to offer the utmost support as much as we can to families out there trying to raise our seeds because, you know, the children are our future, you know. And it doesn't have to be the end of the world, the end of all whenever you have a child. You know, we understand it's an emotional roller coaster. So, you know, we invite you to walk with us on this personal journey. You know, share yours as well. Let us all grow together in love, peace, and harmony. I can't express enough how excited I am, you know, to have this platform and share with everyone, you know, the joys, the woes, the struggles of parenthood. So I'd like to, you know, again, encourage everyone to look us up. We are on Facebook. That's mfacebook.com/WMLR Mothers Know Best. Like and share our fan page. You can leave us a comment, or if you can message us if you have something that you'd like to let us know, please do so. Our mother station, mcom/morelife radio. We encourage you to hit the like button and share that as well. We have many shows lined up for the week. On Sundays, we have Children of the Sun. We have the beautiful children that are going to be addressing their needs, their current needs in society. So we encourage your children to listen in to this show, and we also encourage you to listen in as well because there's something that you can learn. You know, when we listen to the children, they speak the truth. So we have to open up our ears and allow them to express themselves. On Mondays, we have More Music Mondays. Definitely go on Facebook, our More Life Radio page, and check the show times, the broadcast times for those scheduled shows. On Tuesdays, it's More Talk, where we bring serious issues to the table and discuss those. On Wednesdays, we have The Key of Life, the beautiful Monique Nubia Sunshine of Kush Design. She comes and she breaks down the metaphysical key of life aspect. Very intelligible, wise woman that speaks with ancestral wisdom. You wouldn't want to miss that show as well. On Saturdays, you're right back with myself and my beautiful co-host, Sister Living in Harmony, on Mothers Know Best. So that is the lineup for WMLR Radio, Real Radio on a Blog Talk platform. We thank you so much for sitting in and joining us. And we encourage you to please come back. We definitely want to have you back. We want to hear from you. So definitely do that. Sister Living, how was your experience today?
Oh, it was fantastic. I'm so excited about this, and I'm so happy with sharing, you know, this energy with you today and Minister Inky and all of our listeners. It was great. I really enjoyed it. I look forward to building with all the listeners and the family out there. Those that supported us today, we really appreciate you. And to all of you women, men, brothers, sisters, just remember that you are divinely inspired. So continue to be a divine inspiration in your everyday life. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate all the support.
Thank you, family. You all.
Mom, I love you.
Mothers Know Best on WMLR More Life Radio, Real Radio on a Blog Talk platform. Mothers Know Best on WMLR More Life Radio. Real Radio on a Blog Talk platform.
Flashback to a Midwest town. in a time of renaissance, an innocent child. Saturdays and soul train, music feeds a budding mind, painting glory on your FM time. Just a little girl in a big world, hiding in.
Radio, real radio on a Blog Talk platform.